Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone. And with me, as always, is your co-host, Eddie Hart.
Hi, Art. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm glad to be here.
Bunkfunkers, these are your co-hosts speaking. We are reaching a cruising altitude of 10,000 feet.
Not that high. But hey, and if we have to land suddenly, we don't want to be too far up. You know what I mean?
And we'll be bringing you the whole enchilada on a little story involving an airplane real soon here, Bunkfunkers. The weather there in Enchiladaville is always a sunny, beautiful 69 degrees. And yeah.
And remember to keep your tray tables down because we will be serving steaks in flight. And also, smoking is allowed on this airplane. That's right. We are going to play The Mask for everybody. And it is required that you watch.
So the smoking sign will be on at all times.
If the flight attendants don't see you watching The Mask, they will poke you with a finglonger.
Bunkfunkers, if you couldn't guess by today's title or this hilarious pilot bit, we're talking about a plane story today, Andy.
Yeah, and Art doesn't mean just a regular story. Nope. He means a story about an airplane.
That's right. We are talking about...
Have you ever been in an airplane? Up above the clouds, there's no rain. Cut the engines, we'll sail right into the sun.
That seems dangerous.
No, it's very dangerous. But hey.
I don't like what that song is condoning, Andy, but I think maybe today's topic.
But hey, no biscuit if you don't risk it.
I think today's topic wouldn't appreciate it either because we're talking about the odyssey of Pan Am Flight 914.
Captain Odysseus of the Pan Am Flight 914.
This story came to us recommended by a Bunkfunker, sent it in on Instagram, instagram.com/ Mr. Bunker Pod.
I don't know. Who uses Instagram on the web? Go on the app, you freaking weirdo.
Yeah, you fucking weirdos. Robert.
Robert.
Thank you.
Yeah. Robert, thank you for this great topic.
We realized that we have never covered a topic where a plane like goes missing or does some weird kind of
where a plane goes to a different plane
of existence and time. That's true. We've covered boats. We've covered missing aircraft, but we've never really covered time traveling aircraft.
We covered a time traveling car that can fly and speaks English. We covered a time-traveling motor scooter. We covered a time-traveling bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
We covered a time-traveling golf cart.
That's true.
We covered a time-traveling biplane.
That's right.
Oh, no, we didn't. That wouldn't fit the joke. Never mind.
Well, anyway, Bunk Funkers, hopefully our jokes this evening will be smoother than the ride that the plane went on.
I like a bumpy ride.
Bunk Funkers, of course, if you can't wait to get to all that...
if you want to travel through time.
Very good segue. And if you want to travel through time, just like today's topic did...
if you want to jump into the future and be panicked when you arrive... Check out the show notes and find the timestamp where you can go right to where the research begins.
That's right. There is a timestamp always in the show notes. Take you right to the research begins. Because first, we got to talk again about how we're back once again.
Yeah, obviously, we're back here again.
So it seems like maybe this wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a one-time deal. I guess this is going to be our lives again. We're being stalked, hunted.
I don't know who could be doing this.
It's a real mystery because, frankly, we have yet to see our assailant, our abductor. You know, it's much like last week. We're family men now.
That's right.
We're trying to raise our teenage son, Peon Musk, our teenage Sasquatch son, Peon Musk. And we're also trying to raise our adult baby, David Crosby.
That's right.
And Art and I are two daddies. That's D-A-D-D-I-E-Z. We are two daddies, and we are doing our best to raise our family, and we are totally committed to our family. We both have been changed by finally getting families for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You especially.
Yeah. I think I've undergone the most change. You know,
having
a family unlocked a part of me that I didn't know existed before.
Now, if I can't recall, Andy, you had a family.
I had a family? Like, you mean my mom and dad? No, I mean, like, no, I like having children now.
Yeah.
And, like, I like a family unit of my own. Now where I'm the child or the grandchild. Like, where I have responsibility in a family unit.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I get it. I'm just glad that I just want to make sure that you're committed to this family and things don't end up kind of like your previous one.
My previous family? Who are you talking about? Oh, my wife and my kid?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't talked to them for like months. I keep getting mail that I think they think that I died.
Well, famously, they refuse to listen to the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, can you blame them?
Yeah, I can't. But I just want to make sure you're committed to this new family, raising Peon Musk. It seems today that
you and Peon Musk changed me.
Yeah.
I am very committed to this family.
Sure. And you had some nice bonding with Peon because sometimes you guys butt heads a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's ritualistic for him, but I don't have the skull for it, so we have to find some other ways to, like...
He likes to headbutt to say hello, and it will knock you out. And we have suffered quite a bit of CTE, but hey, that's parenting.
That's parenting. I mean, I was suffering plenty of CTE before becoming a parent, so.
Yeah. Oh, Andy fell asleep. Drooling a little bit.
It's all gravy,
mustard
baby.
Coming out of his mouth.
So anyway, I'm in the shopping market. Wait, what are we talking about?
You had a bonding experience with Peon Musk this week.
Yeah, I did. That's for sure.
That led to you...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Being captured.
Okay. I'm back with it now. Sorry. I blacked out there for a minute.
Yeah. I noticed you dribbled mustard out of your mouth.
Yeah. I got a bunch of mustard in my cheeks. So Peon Musk is at that age where, you know, it's time for him to start shaving. Like he wants, you know, he's getting that stubble, peach like fuzz. And when I say peach fuzz, I mean, he's covered in hair.
He's literally covered in hair.
Long, shaggy hair.
Of course, he's not human.
Yeah, he's not human. We keep reminding him he's not a human. He is a Sasquatch. He is very different from everybody else that he interacts with every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he will never be able to be like them. And that's just the way it is.
Yep.
And he should stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
He should just learn to live with ridicule because people are cruel.
People are cruel.
But I was helping him shave. It's a rite of passage in every young boy's life. And I mean, this guy has a lot of hair, right? Like, this is one hairy fucking kid. So
can we just be real? Like, off, like,
I mean,
off the record here?
I mean, daddies to daddies.
This,
like,
daddies to daddies. Yeah. This is one hairy motherfucking kid.
This is one hairy goddamn.
I mean, I don't know where he gets it from.
Oh, it's probably a little bit of both of us. I mean, he's got both our DNA in him.
Right.
So I'm helping Peon Musk shave, and it's quite a thing. And, you know, like, you can't go to the store and buy a can of shaving cream for this guy.
No.
So we had to go online and buy a foam daddy, one of these things that you get for, like, you know, foam parties, mm-hmm. so that he could be covered in shaving cream. Mm-hmm. Well, the damn thing starts to malfunction. The whole friggin' bathroom's filling up with shaving cream.
Jeez Louise.
Sorry, by the way, Art. Great. I got a mess in the bathroom to clean up.
Yet another mess.
This one,
you
not
think I'd
in
get
the
used
toilet
to it.
For
yeah.
once.
You think I'd get used to it.
So I had to open a window to let some of the foam out. And, you know, the foam's trying to go out, but it's getting stuck. There's too much foam.
Right.
So I go outside and I'm trying to, like, you know, scoop out foam naturally from the bathroom to get it outside. Well, there gets to be a lot of foam outside the bunker. So I'm like, hey, I'll just go drop this over in the ravine that's right by the bunker.
Sure.
Well, as I go out there, I trip over some kind of a piece of rope or something, and a large net falls down on top of me, and the net's weighted, and so I can't get up. And then all of a sudden, I feel this, like, pinprick
in
my buttocks.
Oh, wow. Peon? It was Peon Musk?
And normally, I'm okay with stuff like that, but this time, I fell asleep. So I think it was a tranquilizer dart. And when I woke up, of course, I was here in the studio again. The door was barricaded. I have no idea who did this. I'm beginning to wonder, is this a Peon prank? Is this for his TikTok? Is he TikToking this? Is he TikToking to me?
Who are you TikToking to me? Peon? You TikToking to me?
You TikToking
to me? I'm ticked off. I'm getting ticked off
getting
of these
TikTok'd.
Pranks. I'm getting TikToked.
If this is all a TikTok prank, I'm steamed. I'm peeved. You're going to see this daddy foam at the mouth because I'm pissed off.
Well, we need to work on that because that might be rabies.
Well, it probably
is. You did get bit by that raccoon.
I did get bit by that raccoon and Peon Musk.
Well, while you were having a fun day with Peon Musk, I took adult baby David Crosby out on the little daddy baby baby stroll.
Sweet.
You know,
aww.
He's a little mischief maker. I mean, what are you going to do with a little baby? I mean, it's adult baby. It's just they get into mischief.
I mean, David Crosby, adult baby David Crosby is like a movie baby. A baby from a cinema.
Well, we always tell
because
him he's
he gets
cute
into
enough
so
that
much
he could
mischief.
He could be a baby in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that he should be the next Gerber baby.
Well, I've tried to, and, you know, I've tried to, and maybe I've been a little aggressive in how much I think that my adult baby is very cute and could do a better job. I have found the contact information. I did dox the Gerber baby. I did SWAT the Gerber baby. I sent the SWAT team. Gerber baby.
The Gerber baby is, of course, an elderly person now.
Yes. The Gerber baby is very old now. But, I mean, Rich is a fucking king in a castle. I mean, come on. Lifetime supply of his own goods that he helped advertise. So I just think that it's time to pass the torch. And who better than our sweet adult baby, David Crosby? So he got into some mischief. You know, I went out into the woods, and there he was, of course, at a Hertz rent-a-car where he rented a car. Such mischief.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, what are you doing, mister young man? What do you think you're doing? So I get into the car and, you know, I said, like, well, why don't we take a little trip down to the Gerber baby's house and we'll see if we can maybe try and make his life a living hell in order for him to give up the rights to Gerber baby so that you can be the
She, Ann Turner Cook, the original Gerber baby.
Well, there you go.
94 years old.
94 years old. Really, honestly, no longer is a baby. I have an adult baby. and Turner Cook is no longer a baby, I have an adult baby. Could easily be the next Gerber baby.
Yeah.
I could be selling. He could. Andy, we both know as two daddies, obviously you love your kids, but
yeah,
some kids, Peon Musk, like, let's be honest, he's no looker. He's cool. He's, you know, he's got a lot of different qualities, but he's not cute.
We love our children equally, but right. Peon Musk is not going to be a model.
No.
David Crosby, though.
Adult baby David Crosby? When he puts on those little fucking cute little crocheted hats that he wears? Come on.
That's an adorable.
He could sell mashed peas.
That's an adorable adult baby.
He could sell mashed peas and life insurance.
Yeah.
Policies for babies.
Yeah. Get them while they're cheap.
So we decided to take a little trip down to Ann Turner Cook's house. You know, we were just cruising around, seeing if maybe we could like rifle through her trash or release a bag of bees into her home. you know, just mischief. Little things that David, little things that baby David, adult baby David Crosby likes to get into.
Oh, he would think that was so funny to see a bag of bees released into a nonagenarian's house.
You know, and I was just having such a good time. I said, let's go get a little treat. We deserve a little treat, adult baby David Crosby. So we stopped at the Dairy Queen and, you know, I wanted to get him a Dilly Bar, which I just told him was his favorite. And he said, I wanted a Blizzard. And I said, I don't look for a fucking Blizzard. You kidding me? I'm not giving a Blizzard to a little baby. Adult baby. I mean, sure, you can turn it upside down and it won't fall over, but he's an adult baby.
Eventually, it's going to melt a little and it'll fall out of there.
Of course, I'm getting some butterscotch. And not ice cream. Just want the butterscotch.
A bowl of that magic shell stuff?
Yeah, the butterscotch. And so I'm asking them, you know, I'm trying to barter, I'm trying to haggle, of course, as a daddy now, I'm always thinking about our bank account and our money. And so I'm trying to haggle with the Dairy Queens and, they're not giving me anything. These damn queens. And so, you know, I said, let me talk to your manager. And then, you know, believe it or not, Andy, I too felt a little prick on my ass cheek. And I said, oh, my God, it's little adult baby David Crosby pinching my ass cheeks, trying to play with daddy. Because you know how babies are. They're always trying to tassels. I always have all these tassels on my pockets.
Yeah.
I don't buy pants unless there's tassels.
Adult baby David Crosby definitely has a very curious mind.
He's
likes
curious.
To pull on fringe and tassels.
Yeah, so he's pulling out. I thought, oh, but then all of a sudden, there I go. I'm passing out again in the Dairy Queen. God, I wish I had a dollar for every time I say that fucking sentence. Passed out in a Dairy Queen. I felt a prick on my ass, and then I passed down to Dairy Queen. Again, I think, too,
story
somebody
of your life.
Tranked me.
Yeah.
Could have been Ann Turner Cook.
Yeah, maybe.
We might want to think if it's Ann Turner Cook, Andy.
Well, you were pretty aggressive against her.
I did come out pretty hard against Ann Turner Cook.
Did you end up releasing that bag of bees in her house?
Ooh, fuck. What did I do with those fucking bees? Shit. Bees are kind of endangered now, too, aren't they? Oh, boy. God, I feel horrible about that. Boy, oh boy. But anyway, here I am as well in the bunker.
Jeez.
Jeez is right.
I mean, who knows if this will continue or not.
I really would just like to be left alone and to be with my family.
Yeah.
We're two daddies now, and I think... It used to be, you know, when this was happening to us, you were just affecting us. Now you're affecting our family.
Right. Right. Before, the only impact was on us individually.
Right.
As people.
Right.
Because we didn't have any family. We weren't connected to any other people. Now we're responsible for others. Baby David Crosby can't take care of himself.
That's true. He's an adult baby.
Adult baby David Crosby needs our help.
That's right.
Peon Musk, our teenage Sasquatch, needs our help.
That's right.
How's he going to figure out navigating life when he can never be like humans? And yet we continue to be, you know, harassed, abducted.
By this attacked. Mysterious stranger that we don't know who it could be.
Yeah, a mysterious stranger, a mysterious entity. We have no idea.
Well, Andy, speaking of having no idea, I don't think anybody has any idea how today's topic teleported 30 years into the future.
Ooh.
This is the story of Pan Am Flight 914, the mysterious plane that vanished and reappeared 30 years in the future. We're going to give you the whole enchilada all about it here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast.
The in-flight meal will be the whole enchilada.
You know, Bunk Bunkers, we've been around the block quite a bit, but we have yet to cover a missing flight. Can you believe that, Andy? We've covered stories involving planes. We've covered stories involving time travel. Hell, even time traveling boats. But never a time traveling missing plane. And that's exactly what this week's topic concerns. A plane that supposedly flew forward in time. Boy, Andy, time travel, huh? Wouldn't you just love to travel back in time? Change the past for the better? Kill Hitler? Buy Bitcoin early? Yeah.
Stop my parents from fucking and conceiving me. That's what I would do.
Oh.
God! Why can't someone figure it out already? I need to go back in time and stop my parents from fucking. Anywho.
Jeez.
It's about time we cover some time traveling planes, Art. Regardless, if I can get passage on one.
Too true, Andy. Too true. And Pan Am Flight 914 is one of the premier plane time travel stories. Pan Am Flight 914 was a Douglas DC-4 with 57 passengers and 6 crew members that took off from New York City Airport, headed for Miami. Miami, Florida. The date was July 2nd, 1955. The flight was scheduled to last only a couple of hours, but it never arrived in Miami. Instead, it showed up unannounced and invisible to Caracas, Venezuela radar on March 9th, 1985.
The story goes like this. Pan Am Flight 914 left New York on July 2nd, 1955. There were no issues reported, just another day in the skies. Back when you could smoke on airplanes. Ooh, baby, Bunk Funkers. Those were the days. Those were the days!
What the fuck was that?
I mean, his bunker.
Oh.
I used to torch through 3 or 4 packs of smokes on a trip. Oh, baby.
Back when you were a little businessman in 1955.
Oh, yeah, back when I was a businessman, smoking 3 or 4 cigars at a time, 2 cigarettes in there. I looked like I was posing for a world record. But eventually, planes need to land somewhere. And when Pan Am Flight 914 didn't arrive in Miami at its scheduled arrival time, well, people got worried. They theorized that maybe the craft had veered off course during the flight and crashed over the Atlantic somewhere. Rescue teams were dispatched to look for wreckage or survivors, but nothing was found. It was as if the plane had disappeared without a trace. Thus, Pan Am issued a statement saying the flight had crashed and there were no survivors. They called it quits.
Well, cut to 30 years later, on March 9th, 1985, in Caracas, Venezuela, air traffic controller Juan de la Corte showed up for work and began his day as he does any other day, directing airport traffic. When suddenly an aircraft appeared, flying through the sky, but did not show up on any of their radar instruments. Naturally, Juan freaked out over this, and that's understandable considering it's a worst-case scenario involving his job. And the aircraft just appeared out of fucking thin air. Now, him and his co-workers looked out the tower to try and spot the incoming aircraft, and they did. But what they saw shocked them. It was a very old Douglas DC-4 model aircraft. One with propeller engines, even.
The pilot of this craft radioed into the tower and asked in English, "Where are we? What the hell is going on?" Which is such a badass pilot thing to say. What the hell is going on? Damn.
When you command a friggin' bird through the skies, Andy, you can command an answer out of anybody. Pilots rule.
Yeah, pilots are friggin' cool. Anyway, one replied, "You're near the Caracas Airport in Venezuela. Where are you headed?" The pilot replied that they were Charter Flight 914 headed from New York to Miami with 57 passengers on board. "Well, goddamn, brother, you're way off. Jesus. Caracas ain't Miami. Hell, the two words don't even sound similar. They don't even start with the same letter. God damn! You fucked up big time, sir. I mean, pilots are fucking cool, but goddamn, you fucked up on this one, dude.
That's true, Andy. They don't start with the same letter. I can confirm that.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have the same letter. Don't even sound alike. Caracas. Miami. It's not the same.
And Juan was just as baffled, Andy. Did this weird old plane somehow veer over 1,000 miles off course? How could this happen? Was it piloted by two guys named Andy and Art who were more concerned with quoting airplane than flying an airplane?
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
That's a good one, Andy. Naturally, Juan wanted more information, but the pilot was sounding really freaked out and stressing and calling for Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. But he eventually did mention one key piece of information. They were intended to land in Miami and at 9:55 a.m. on July 2nd. In 1955? What? Indeed. Juan was floored. What the heck was this pilot's deal? I mean, sure, pilots command the skies and they command the genitals of many, many lovers. But did this guy really mean to say that he was from 1955? Well, either way, Juan's first concern was the safety of the passengers.
Well, thank God for people like Juan, because I've managed to replace almost all the clean air on a 2-hour flight with my farts before. Can't imagine what kind of stank gas these people were whiffing after 30 years. Hoo-wee! So Juan cleared the aircraft in for an emergency landing, which they completed safely. And when they did, Juan finally got a good look at the craft. It was completely outdated, with its propeller turbines. But not only that, the plane looked like it had suffered incredible wear and tear.
Hey, isn't that how your doctor describes you?
Yeah, also, one time my wife tried to sell me on Craigslist, but she was forced to add incredible wear and tear in the product description, so she barely got any bids, baby! Can't get rid of me! Oh!
You're damaged goods.
Damaged goods, baby! Incredible wear and tear. Well, anyway, when the plane landed, Juan heard a ruckus over the comms. He heard the sounds of people screaming and panicking in the background of the radio. And he even heard the pilot yell, "Jesus Christ, Jimmy, what the hell is that?" Now, the obvious answer here is that these people from 1955 were freaking out over seeing sights from 1985 so suddenly before their eyes. But let's examine the phrase, "Jesus Christ, Jimmy, what the hell is that?" Could it be that this Jimmy exposed his naked penis to the pilot? A naked penis? No? Just my handsome pilot erotica? Okay, then.
Yeah. Juan told the passengers and the crew of the plane to remain calm and that he was sending a ground crew to help escort them off the craft. But Juan then heard the pilot say softly, "Something is wrong." Which, coincidentally, is also something Andy and I have said in bed with our significant others many times. Juan then repeated the date was... It's March 9th, 1985. March 9th, 1985. But the pilot, he wouldn't acknowledge it. As the ground crew approached, the pilot got back on the radio and yelled, "No! Get away! We're getting out of here!" Which, again, is such a badass fucking pilot move. I mean, can you imagine some badass hunky pilot like Sully Sullenberger just straight up telling the Hudson River, "No! Get out of the way! I'm landing on you!" Badass.
So badass.
Friggin' cool. And sure enough, this fucking badass pilot, this plane started right back up and they took off again. And just like before, it was invisible on Juan's radar.
The airport then sent three jets out to try and track down the craft, but they were unable to track it down. In the heat of the moment, the pilot reportedly dropped something, which fell out of the plane's entrance. It was a classic Birch pocket calendar, which was specifically from the year 1955, the exact same year that the plane last took off. Although, according to Juan, tight-lipped aviation authorities arrived to seize all tapes of the plane's arrival in the pocket calendar.
Ooh, these tight-lipped aviation authorities always guarding their little secrets and trinkets. How do planes fly without flapping their wings? They won't tell. You just know that tight-lipped aviation authority went home and added that little pocket calendar to his mound of treasures, perched himself atop, and then proceeded to wax poetic to a small, hairy man with big feet and a magic ring. No? Just my tight-lipped aviation authority as Smaug erotica? Okay, then.
Well, that's not the end of the... you can check it out. You want to read it. That's not the end of the story of the Pan Am flight of 914. Allegedly, the plane did eventually make it back to Miami, its original destination, all those years ago. Upon its arrival at Miami Airport, was just as confused as Juan. But they checked the records in the back office, and sure enough, this was the exact same plane that was said to have been lost back in 1955. The story goes that the plane was allowed to land, and the passengers disembarked into the world 30 years later. Their living relatives and families were contacted, and apparently the passengers were allowed to go home with them. Amazingly, not a single one of the passengers from the trip had aged a single day, while their families were all 3 decades older. I think the lesson here, Andy, is that you should never quit or give up ever, anytime, even if it takes 30 years.
Yes, yes. It's just like me and potty training. One day, I'll learn the right way. Until then, it's going on the rug, but I'll never give up.
That's the important part.
So what are the main theories on what happened to Pan Am Flight 914? Well, the first is the flight entered some kind of a wormhole. My favorite kind of hole. After butt, of course. When the plane left New York, it might have entered a wormhole, bending through time and space, causing the flight to emerge 30 years in the future. This could help explain why the passengers didn't age at all.
Another related theory is the Bermuda Triangle. You ever heard of it? The Bermuda Triangle is a well-known area inside the Atlantic Ocean that has claimed numerous lost vessels of both sea and air. Bermuda's a bad baby! But could the Bermuda Triangle have been the one to teleport this craft through space and time? Well, we don't know, but let's get to what we call the skeptic's take. We have to use that kind of lightly here, bunkfuckers, because it's mostly a fact. But hey, you read into it what you want. You do your things, bunkfuckers. We're just giving you the whole enchilada. The Pan Am Flight 914 story dates back to an article in Weekly World News from May 7th, 1985, titled "The Riddle of Flight 914, the plane that vanished 30 years ago lands at a modern airport."
Now, also in this issue are some rather fun articles. Incredible new proof of reincarnation. Baby born with tattoo dated 1917. Mouse hunter shoots himself in the foot. And my favorite, paralyzed dad strangles dog that attacked kids. It's a tale as old as time. Man versus animal. Like Moby Dick.
Weekly World News is an infamous publication for publishing wild stories such as these. Bunkfunkers, if you went through a grocery store checkout ever in your life, this publication was likely in the aisle. The iconic all black and white paper had such hits as "Bat Child Escapes," "I Was Bigfoot's Love Slave," "A Time Traveler Who Got Busted for Insider Trading," and many, many more. In fact, Weekly World News published the Pan Am Flight 914 story not only in 1985, but again in 1992, and yet another time in the 90s. It must have been a popular one.
It must be because the YouTube channel Brightside did a story about the Pan Am flight that gained a ton of traction in 2019. The video has over 19 million views. It's a lot of views. The story is also very reminiscent of an original 1961 Twilight Zone episode called "The Odyssey of Flight 33," which concerns a passenger flight from London to New York City in 1961. During the flight, their speed starts to increase beyond reason, and they travel back in time to the prehistoric era. They then attempt to travel back through the same jet stream that brought them back, and they go forward in time to 1939. But will they ever reach 1961 again?
We don't know because they're in the Twilight Zone. And what conclusion will you reach, dear bunkfunkers? What happened to Pan Am Flight 914? And what would you do if you suddenly appeared 30 years in the future? Would you panic? Or would you rejoice? Fear not, bunkfunkers. For this is your co-host speaking, reaching a cruising altitude of 69,420 feet. And we're about to serve our in-flight meal today. Today, you only have one choice aboard Bunker Airlines, and that is the whole enchilada.
Yummy.
Yummy.
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ooh, it sure is chilly outside, Art.
Andy, where's your jacket?
Art, did you hear me? The wind chill is 30 below.
Andy, I think you have hypothermia.
You know, Art, with the horrific chilly weather outside, the only thing that'll warm me up is listening to Andy and Art Debunked, available only on patreon.com/MrBunkerPod.
Are you seriously shilling our Patreon right now?
Oh, Art. Laughing at the antics of Andy and Art is all the warmth I need. And for just $5 a month, I get access to all the episodes of the show, behind-the-scenes updates, sneak peeks at episodes, and I can chat with Andy and Art on the Bunker Discord.
Andy, we need to get you to a hospital.
We need to get me to patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. So chilly. Oh, God. I'm chilled to the bone.
Hey, welcome back, Bunk Bunkers. That was our research of Pan Am Flight 914.
Hope you had a nice time travel to get to this point in the universe, Bunk Funkies.
A little shorty watching shorty today, Bunk Funkers. That's all right.
Yeah, short topic.
It's a shorty watching shorty.
Can I just say right up at the top, Art?
Yeah.
I just want to say out loud my appreciation for Weekly World News.
You, Andy, you revealed to me earlier today that you have this appreciation for Weekly World News that I did not know about.
Weekly World News, as was mentioned in the script, was a periodical publication.
Yeah.
That I saw all the time at the grocery store checkout.
Yep, that's where it was.
And I always loved to read the headlines of Weekly World News. I mean, not that often did I pick up a copy and thumb through it, but often I would be scoping it out. I always wanted to see what was going on with Bat Boy. Bat Boy and Bigfoot were like the two big things that I remember from my youth.
There's a lot of Bigfoot.
Yeah, a lot of Bigfoot, a lot of Bat Boy. I do remember Bigfoot being, you know, Bigfoot was my lover. That shows up a few times, like Bigfoot body found, that kind of stuff shows up there a lot. And of course, Bat Boy.
Yes.
Bat Boy. I mean,
this is a cryptid like bat child that looks half bat, half boy.
Yeah. I performed in a a short show that was about Bat Boy.
Did you?
Yeah.
When?
Several years ago.
Oh.
A local comedian here wrote it as part of the Peaches and Hot Sauce comedy network.
I don't remember this. I usually keep tabs on everything that you do, but I don't remember this.
Well, one slipped through the cracks.
Are there any other fun headlines from that era that you remember, Andy? Anything else?
God, I barely remember what I did yesterday, let alone headlines from 30 years ago. I just remember it being like, It's one of those things where, as a kid, you don't understand parody or, like, sensationalism. And I was just always like,
this shit's real.
Is this for real? Like, I thought it was like, you know, because it's in black and white. So you, like, yeah. I associated that with the newspaper. It's like the other stuff that's at the grocery store checkout that's in those same things. It's like The Sun or
tabloid magazine.
Yeah, it's like tabloid. So it's all gossipy. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, here's one that's like, looks more newsish.
Right. It's literally called Weekly World News.
Yeah. So I was like, well, maybe this is just too weird for other, like, that you don't hear about it on TV, but wild that this is happening. But now I appreciate it as like, God damn, I wish I had a job at Weekly World News. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it would be fun
sick
to write for Weekly World News.
Yeah.
Think of all the crap you could come up with.
It's literally, yeah, it's just crap. I mean, it's now an online publication as print media slowly dies.
Oh, I didn't realize it was online.
Yeah, it's all online now, I think. I'm not sure if they completely closed up shop. But hey, maybe one day we'll do an entire topic dedicated to weekly world news, or perhaps there's a Patreon episode in the future, Bunk Funkers, if you're interested in that, of us going through old weekly world headlines. Maybe we start bringing a couple to the table and see what's up.
Yeah. Because, I mean, with this story, with Pan Am Flight 914, there's no indication that this was ever a real thing, right?
No, this, I mean, Bunk Funkers, come on. The image they used in Weekly World News, I don't even think it's the same plane. Like, I think it's a propeller plane from the 1930s or something, like late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's the same fucking plane. So, Weekly World News, of course, infamous for using its imagery and like those stock photos that you could find and just kind of throwing them places, whether it was real or not.
Yeah, they were very good at like taking two stock photos and combining them to make it look like there's whatever is happening is happening.
You know, there's debate as to whether this was maybe some kind of weird real life story that they bent into whatever, like maybe a plane did show up in Caracas, Venezuela that had veered off course and that's it.
Yeah.
But as for how much we maybe think that this is based in any kind of reality, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. Like, it's a funny story.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing that I get out of Weekly World News now is, like, I think that it's very funny.
It is.
Like, I think that they're, you know, it's like, these are, like, they're never anything that's, like, obviously these stories aren't, like, in-depth. It's not like you can't, like, somebody goes to a lot of trouble of like reporting something, you know, it's like quick write-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun. They came up with Bat Boy. Bat Boy was such a great thing. Like they had all those pictures of like young Bat Boy as he grew up and stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just like, this is so funny. Like in what world now, you know, would something like that just end up at the grocery store checkout? Like,
it's true.
You know,
it's kind of crazy that it even could be allowed in a grocery store checkout, but I guess there's plenty of other tabloid filth that lines the walls.
You could put a comedy magazine up there and it'd be the same thing. Like if you could buy Mad Magazine, why not buy Weekly World News?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
No, it's fun shock camp.
Yeah.
Bullshit. That's just fun.
Yeah.
I don't have as much of a relationship to it as you did, mostly because if I ever wanted to buy one, I feel like my parents would have been like, no, we have Weekly World News at home. And then it's like Weekly World News at home is just my own fan fictions. Something.
Art's Rat Boy character that he created.
Yeah, Rat Boy. Yet another Simpsons reference there.
Yeah, Art's chewing the drywall as we speak. Gnawing the drywall, sorry.
You know, Andy, I guess the only thing here to really ask about is what would you do if you were teleported 30 years into the future?
Oh, if I was teleported, like, from today?
Yeah. You'd probably freak out.
Yeah, I would freak out because I would be like, oh, shit, I'm dead. So that would freak me out if I got teleported 30 years in the future. I'd be like, oh, fuck. I died 15 years ago.
You don't age. None of the passengers age.
Oh, I don't just sync up my timeline.
It's just me. Yeah, there's no timeline sync.
So I disappeared from time for 30 years, and then I show up 30 years later exactly the same as me.
Just like the story.
And how would I react to that? I'd probably be like, oh, fuck. Dude, this is 30 years later, dude. Fuck. No. It would freak you out, right?
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
There's this
everybody you know would be 30 years old. I'd be 30 years older, Andy. I'd be I'd be almost as old as you.
There's a
or now.
There's an ELO album called Time, and
Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah, the premise. This it's a concept album, and the premise of the album is that, I guess Jeff Lynne in this case, like falls asleep or like goes into a dream or something, and like gets transported to like 2149 or something from 1981. And so he's like seeing all of these technological wonders and stuff in the future. But all he does is like miss his significant other from 1981. It's pretty ELO-y.
Pretty ELO.
Yeah. But anyway, there's some good songs on the album.
Mr. Blues Guy.
The lights go down. The lights go down. Anyway, if I got transported 30 years,
I'd be 30 years older.
You know, this would be my ticket. That's what should happen to me, because then I can live a nice, rich, full life. Like when I do die, then people will be like, "Oh, this was at the right time. He was actually this old." Whereas I would never make it there on my own.
Yeah.
I need a 30-year gap, basically.
You need a 30-year...
To live to a proper lifespan.
You need a 30-year reset. Mulligan.
Yeah.
He needs a mulligan.
Yeah, oh, my God. A 30-year mulligan is what I really need for a lot of reasons. But I would need to go backwards in time 30 years. Start over. I made some bad decisions along the way.
True, like getting that rattlesnake tattoo.
Yeah. I mean, the it's not a bad tattoo. I just shouldn't have gone full body. I shouldn't have made my face look like a rattlesnake and then the rest of my body look like a rattlesnake's body.
Yeah. It's definitely, I love that this story just assumes that the people can go home. Like, there's definitely like a missed angle there where it's like.
That they were like, oh God, these people are back from 30 years in the past. We better call their families and have them come pick them up. Like, nobody was like, let's study this and, like, interview them. And
right.
It's like, oh, no, just let them go home.
Confiscate the plane and, like, do all this other shit.
And where are all the movies based on this from all these people selling the rights to their story?
Yeah. I teleported 30 years into the future and all I got was this.
A write-up in the Weekly World News.
Write-up in the Weekly World News. Yeah, I mean.
Plus, you know, how many people would come back from that and not have family anymore?
That would be very sad.
Think about it. If you were like, let's say you're like, I don't know, like an immigrant to the USA. You moved here. It's just you and your like spouse. You have no other family in this country. You travel 30 years in the future. They died in the meantime. And you have just no family.
Yeah.
What do you do then?
This is fucking depressing.
Your house could be sold or demolished or like you would have no belongings. Crazy.
Those people become part of the airport then.
They become Tom Hanks.
They become Tom Hanks in that movie. They're literally describing the movie Terminal.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was called.
Yeah. Okay, well.
You ever seen that movie?
Then I guess somebody did make that movie. I'd never seen that movie. So is the premise of that movie that Tom Hanks travels forward in time?
Yes.
And then gets stuck at the airport because all his family died?
Yeah. I think that's a better premise than the original one, which is just, I think he's like,
it's like some diplomatic thing, right?
Yeah, he's like an immigrant from some kind of country, and it's just Tom Hanks.
And he has to live at the airport.
Living at the airport.
Yeah, well, now I know what we could do. Let's write a screenplay about Tom Hanks traveling forward in the future 100 years on an airplane, and all of his family died, and he has to live at the airport now, and he gets into lots of zany antics because he has to work for the airport.
That's right.
And he's not very good at any of these jobs because he's over 100 years old. And
but he hasn't aged.
Do you start aging faster then when you come back, or do you age at the same rate?
No, I think it's like a wormhole. They blipped through time.
Mm. You know.
Cut and paste.
Yeah. It's very interesting to think because scientifically speaking, you could travel so fast that you slow your aging.
Very true.
At least that's the hypothetical.
That's the hypothetical theory. It's the only way you could ever truly time travel.
Yeah, as you approach light speed, time within your craft, because you're traveling so fast, you would be time would be traveling slower at that speed than it would be for things not traveling that fast.
Right.
Which is pretty fucked up when you think about it.
It is fucked up when you think about that because, yeah, it's literally you could come back and you would be significantly younger.
Because you think about space travel, right?
Like well, I do think about it.
If we go to like the nearest like star system outside of our own solar system, it's like, right. What, 7 light years?
Right.
Or something? So it just takes 7 years to get there at the speed of light. But then you get there after 7 years, like everyone here has aged 7 years. You haven't aged 7 years. Like you've aged like 5 years or whatever. And then you do whatever there, you're aging like regular again because you stop traveling light speed. And then you come back 7 more years. Like people here have aged like 20 years, but you've only aged like 10. Plus you get to see another solar system. I guess there was more to it than that. And then if you think about it, think about this, Art.
I love these scenarios.
How will you, you know, it's like it could get monetized. Like think about beauty products where they're just like, oh, we're going to send you up in a spaceship and you're going to travel speed of light for a week.
Yeah, you want to, how bad do you want to look young and beautiful? Do you want to leave mm-hmm. your fucking decrepit, disgusting, mm-hmm. ugly family
mm-hmm.
behind?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll send
people up there at the peak of their like genetic virility.
Yeah.
And just every week they have to go for every month or something, they have to go for a week at light speed, circling the Earth. And then they come back and they stay young forever.
I really look forward to
May you stay forever young. I think that's what
Forever Young.
I think that's what Bob Dylan was trying to say in that song. Because it was
Bob
called,
Dylan?
Yeah,
he sang Forever Young.
Yeah, because I think it was that album was called Planet Waves. So it's clearly about astronomy and space travel. And he drew the album art for it, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow,
on a bar napkin or something.
I look forward to seeing robot Gwyneth Paltrow explain via Goop how every person should be doing this. What will obviously be an extraordinarily expensive beauty treatment to fly into space at the speed of light to de-age themselves.
Art, you bring up a good topic, and I have an announcement to make. I'm actually starting my own lifestyle brand of wellness products so that people can, you know, be as healthy as I am.
Sure.
You know, and look as good as me.
Yep.
And have as much youthful energy as I do.
All three, all the above is what I think about when I hear you.
I am like the picture of health. So I am starting my own wellness company. We are in direct competition with Gwyneth Paltrow. We promise to be even crazier than Gwyneth Paltrow. My line of products is all about shoving foreign objects into your body, mostly through the anus. And you just leave them in there. And that's the whole thing. And you try to stop going to the bathroom so that they don't come out.
Mm-hmm.
And we call our line of products poop. And I am poop's CEO.
CEO of poop.
CEO of poop.
Founder, a title you've held for a long time before you incorporated it.
Founder and CEO of poop. And I think we're on to big things. You know, it's like for $1,800, we'll send you 5 AA batteries that you shove up your asshole. And you'll feel more energized instantly.
Yeah, I got a package from you guys that was, it was this beautiful organic hemp sock
mm-hmm.
that you instructed me to fill with a whole package of AA batteries and shove up my asshole.
That's right.
Really energized me.
Yeah, I bet it did. You know, we have other great products. We have essential oils. You know, you can get a bacon grease bath bomb to...
Now, you don't shove that up your asshole, though, or do you?
Well, you can shove it up your asshole and then get in the tub, but it's usually better if you, you know, put it in the tub and then just hold your butt cheeks apart so mm-hmm. that the water will go into your asshole.
Mm. So the BGB.
The BGB.
Bacon grease bath bomb.
Bacon grease bath bomb goes up your butthole in the tub. There's also we have a line of candles.
That's right.
They're mostly just unsafe fireworks that they weren't allowed to sell in other stores. we charge $500 for a pack of two.
And some of these do smell like your urine.
Well, you know, accidents happen. You can't poop, but you are allowed to still pee.
Yeah. There's a few scented. I got a beautiful package of different like lava lamps.
Mm-hmm.
These are like they're like lava lamps, but they're like heated crystals.
Mm-hmm.
There were instructions on how to also shove those up your asshole as well.
Mm-hmm. They're best used when in the asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep it plugged in, insert it into your asshole, and then turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the switch is on the cord.
And what do those do exactly for rejuvenation?
Oh, well, the crystal is like a special type of quartz that has properties that will resonate with your colon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess at Poop, our main philosophy is that the colon is the base of everything. Like, good health starts with colon health.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically people tend to think of the colon as like the end part of the journey, like where waste gets stored, but it's actually better to think of it the opposite way around, that like the colon is the last chance your body gets to extract any nutrition from anything. So by reversing the flow, and by inserting things directly into the asshole, into the colon, you absorb even more of their power.
Yeah.
And so when you have something like these quartz crystals that are, swirling in liquid hot magma that's barely restrained by the lamp that we put it in, your asshole will feel a warming sensation. Heat is good for the body. It excites the molecules. It helps get your body working. And then that creates some vibration, and then that resonates with the quartz crystal. And basically what it does is if you have, polyps in your colon, they'll just bust open.
Okay.
This will start a chain reaction up through your digestive tract. You may find that you can sing better, because of the vibration in your, whole digestive tract.
And this feels good.
Oh, it feels great. Just don't break the lava lamp, 'cause that hurts like a bitch. Oh my God. Magma in your colon. It fucking sucks. Because you'd think that stuff would cool off, but it doesn't. Oh, God, is it hot.
Liquid hot magma.
Yeah. I tested one and I burned my whole colon out, but they got a pig's colon in me now. It works great.
Thanks to that pig.
Yeah, good job, Mr. Pork. That was his name. I insisted that it come from a pig that I knew personally.
And you actually have a few different lines of enemas. One of them is combined with another brand. You did kind of a cross promotion. Mm-hmm. You have a Steakums enema.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Enema of the Steak. And it's basically where you... I guess what it is we had Steakums take their, thinly sliced ribeye.
Right.
We liquefied it blasting it with salt crystals.
Oh, I was going to say liquid hot magma. It seems like you guys have a large repository of liquid hot magma.
We do have some magma. But no, we didn't want to cook the meat. So this raw liquefied ribeye, and then... we got a little pumping mechanism that makes like a slide whistle sound when you squeeze it. And then you just squeeze all the raw meat into your butthole. And it's kind of a reverse, ingestion type of thing. But it's really just about you do it a whole bunch of times at once so that you pack your colon completely full of Steakums.
And that cleans you right out.
Right. And then you got to stop up. You don't want to poop again. The goal is to absorb as much as possible. So it's best to plug your butthole with batteries so that you don't poop. I recommend a size D mm-hmm. or C mm-hmm. for this, depending on the size of your butthole.
You actually sell a car battery.
Yeah.
For quite a large sum of money.
Yeah, yeah. It's $40,000 for a car battery. But it's a brand new car battery, and the whole idea is that you shove it up your ass.
And actually, under the fine, one of the cool things about this is, like, this is such a high ticket item that you can tell is for really your elite clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a guy who works at AutoZone will come to your house and mm-hmm. help you install it into your ass.
Yeah, yeah, he will help you. We have an exclusive partnership with AutoZone. AutoZone's trained technicians will actually come to your house to install your car battery. No need to go to their store. You just sign up on our website. That's poop.poop. And you just sign up on the website for the car battery, $40,000. The AutoZone tech will come into your house. They'll help you stick the car battery up to your butthole. They'll also connect the jumper cables so that you can hook it up to the car. Because that's where you really get the charge, is then when you hook it up to a car and they start the car.
You hook up a car battery to a car without a battery?
No, this is a working car.
Okay, you're jumping the cables.
And if you don't have a car, yes, you can use the AutoZone technician's car.
Yeah, because I was about to say, that's a little environmentally unfriendly to just assume that people have cars.
Yeah, so we've thought about that, Art, frankly. I mean, poop is really a holistic program.
Yeah, you're...
means not just keeping our bodies healthy, right, but keeping the earth healthy.
Right, that's right. You have a lot of different products, so... I'm really glad that on this episode about a missing plane that we really dive deep into your side project, your side hustle, poop.
Yeah. Yeah. I think poop is really going places. I mean, look for poop to slide into your inbox. Coming up, we're going to be sending out some emails.
You're doing an email campaign, little ad campaign. You could sign up on the website. Poop.
I mean, don't be shocked if you see poop all over the city you live in, because we're going to be doing some aggressive marketing.
Some of the marketing in San Francisco, I think you guys have been doing some guerrilla gonzo marketing,
mm-hmm.
leaving actual piles of shit
all
over the streets.
Yeah. And then we put a little sign in it that says, "This is bad. Try poop." And then there's, you know, it's like one of those pieces of paper where you pull off the little tab, and it's for a free 1 ounce sample of liquid hot magma.
Yeah, you guys actually did one of those old school, you found some old school, like used to find perfume samples in old magazines, but mm-hmm. This was like a tab you could pull and it released liquid hot magma all over people's laps.
Yeah.
Scalded a lot of crotches.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, people were better for it, I think. You know, we also have
how many lawsuits is your company handling right now?
Oh, God, I can't count. That's for the legal department. I mean, most of our budget is for legal fees because we keep getting sued constantly by, you know, people, governments, religious leaders.
I think they just don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, visionaries like me are often the target of ridicule and scorn. So it's not surprising to see that this would take some adjustment from society at large.
Right.
You
definitely encourage... sunbathing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I recommend that everybody take at least one trip in their life to the sun to bathe in its nuclear waters. I mean, it hurts, but they got me pig legs, so it's fine. My legs burned off in the waters of the sun, which I guess is just plasma.
So at this point, you kind of have the lower half of a pig.
Basically, yeah.
You're almost like a Greek satyr, but you're maybe...
like a pig instead of a goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you could call me satire.
You're like Mr. Tumness, but you're Mr. Tumminess.
Right, Mr. Tumminess. The tummy is still mine, but it's a pig's dick. So check it out at poop.poop.
Poop. Check it out. Well, Andy, should we get to our verdicts on Pan Am Flight 914?
Wait, what are we talking about?
Pan Am Flight 914.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Pan Am Flight 914. I'm going to go case closed.
Wow.
This was a fun article in Weekly World News. It's funny, though, that it would crop back up in 2019.
Yeah.
And that people would be like, oh, what a weird tale. Whoa, what was going on with this? Like, I think that's very funny to me that that would happen, that, you know, they ran this three times through the 80s and 90s. And then it just out of nowhere kind of crops up again as a story. But, you know, it's Weekly World News. Like, have fun with it.
That's YouTube for you.
Yeah, YouTube. So, I mean, yeah. good thing to point out, Art, because, I mean, bunk bunkers, be careful what you watch on YouTube and how much information you draw from that, because not everybody's coming to you in good faith, bunk bunkers.
That's true.
Some people are putting purposely false information out there, and they're claiming that it's true.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not giving credit where credit is due. This is Weekly World News, baby.
Weekly World News worked on this, and if people are like...
It's a titan.
Yeah. Let's give Weekly World News some credit for coming up with some fucking banging stories.
Banging. They're bangers.
Oh, yeah. Bangers.
Bangers and mash. So that's Andy's verdict. I also am going case closed. This was a completely fabricated story.
Oh, fuck.
Written in Weekly World News. Shock, surprise, and awe. Every single bunk funker on the planet just gasped.
Yeah.
And that could have been because liquid hot magma just... You know, some of them.
Just shot up into their buttholes.
Right.
Well, I mean, be careful, bunk funkers. Don't break the lava lamps.
Now, bunk funkers, those were our verdicts. Let us know what you think about Pan Am Flight 914. Use the hashtag.
Hashtag.
Something about pilots.
I'm trying to combine Sasquatch is my lover and a pilot. Hashtag pilot Sasquatch is my lover.
Hashtag pilot Sasquatch is my lover.
So after you get that hashtag out, you'll have like three characters for a tweet.
That's
so.
Right.
Just tweet at us, yes, and then use that hashtag.
Yeah, do it. And you can find us by tweeting at Mr. Bunkerpod or on Instagram at Mr. Bunkerpod.
Oh, yeah.
Find us on YouTube, youtube.com/C/MrBunkerPod. You can find us all those links and more on MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com, as well as a link to our Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod, where you can every month get... access to Andy and Art Debunked, which are Patreon exclusive show, new episodes every single month covering lots of different topics, serial killers, extraordinary humans, weird myths, and as well as access to the Bunker Discord, where you can chat with other bunk bunkers and Andy and I, and sneak peeks on episodes, our monthly newsletter. There's lots of fun stuff there on the Patreon. Check it out, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. Well, Andy, do you have any last words before I sue you for allowing liquid hot magma into my asshole?
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing about poop before we go. You know, bunk funkers, do go over to poop.poop and check it out, because we have a special promotion coming up, which we're it's basically like this. It's kind of like a customer loyalty type of program. Mm-hmm. It's like buy five products, use them, and then you blog. We have a community blog on poop.poop. You blog about your experience, and then your sixth product is free. And then you can keep doing that. You know, five products, six is free. Eventually, you know, you do two rounds, mm-hmm. And then you only have to buy three products, and your, you know, next two products are free.
Sure.
So we're calling this poop streaks, and you can string together as many poop streaks as you want, and the rewards keep getting better and better. It's a great loyalty program. So head over to poop.poop and check it out.
Well, you heard it here first, bunk funkers. We'll let you get to it. Head on over to poop.poop and start collecting up those poop streaks.
Really, you want to make your mark on our website in the community blog. So poop streaks are a good way to like, you know, make your mark.
And it's called talking shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we do some shit talking there. There's some shit posting. It's fun. We like to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's some friendly banter. It's a good community over there at poop.poop.
Well, Andy is having a great time as the CEO of his own little company, but we got to let him get back to it. There's lots of busy stuff with poop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to be in court in every minute for the next 5 years.
Every minute. Well, hey, let's get to it here for not the titular Mr. Bunker, but for my hard scrabble.
Yeah.
Co-host Andy Hart. I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
Hey, baby, I hear the poop a-calling. Hard scrabble and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Ding, ding, ding.
Laughing in rhythm.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.